Blog Talk Radio.
All praises to our Elohim, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Brothers and sisters, friends and foes, I'm here tonight on behalf of our Elohim to tell the nations, are you not tired yet, nations? Are you not tired of your lies? Have you not seen enough of the lies? Have you not eaten enough of the lies? I mean, at the end of the day, I guess we're glad to some degree, a small degree, that you guys are waking up. Now, all praises to our Father for letting you wake up finally to see. But hey, it's no, it's nothing on us. We're not, we don't care. We're not here to clap and stand up and sing good praises to you. No, no. Welcome to the game. Because we've been telling you guys that one, Ish is nobody. That two, your people are killers, murderers, deceivers. And three, we're the people of the book. I mean, you guys sit around, have sat around for the last 400 years at minimum and said, we people of Negro descent are nobody, savages, don't have any history, hadn't created nothing. We just were monkeys on a tree. We were the next, and this is your science, next in evolution from monkeys, and then you guys came, so then therefore you guys are the more dominant, blah, 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 blah. But yet, now we're seeing the truth, because all of that was pure and simple lies. You guys over the last 400 years have sat around at minimum and said that we were no one. But yet this book that you guys proclaimed all through the world, all through the earth, that is yours and that is the infallible word of our Elohim, talks about a people who were going to have nothing, be the bottom, lose their inheritance, their religion, their God, that lose it all. And you guys are not intelligent enough, smart enough, wise enough to put two and two together today. So what I'm doing, and the reason why I started off like that was because I'm manifesting that, because, you know, several months ago, we had the Kyrie Irving and the Kanye situation, and Ish threw in their last card, their last anti-whatever Semitism madness card, and they put it on the table, and people grumbled. There was a grumbling. There was a noise of, we don't know about this. This isn't accurate. I don't know. This is from coming from us, the Israelites. The other people kept a blind eye, but they had an ear up. They knew something at that point didn't seem right, but they kept going because everything was fine for them. All was well. Ish has been killing and stealing and destroying, raping, lying, cheating, bringing debauchery into the game, into the world. They're the leader. They're the owners of all the multimedia, including porn and smut and snuff. They create a lot of animosity and bribery and hypocrisy and adultery and fornication and lies and trickery. This is what, I mean, if you just look back on their history, which is something that we've already done as a people, but the rest of the world seemed intent on not believing and not wanting to do. until the father forced him to wake up. You know, those were the nations today are like the kids when you were a kid and it was time to go to school and your mom was like, get up. And they rolled over. Mom came in about 5-10 minutes later, 7 minutes later, and said, wake up. And you said, okay, I'm getting up. And you got up and you sat on the edge of the bed. And then you rubbed some sleep out your eyes. And as soon as she left the door, left the room, you put your head back down on the pillow. And she came in the next time and they start yelling at you, get your ass up. You got up, you hopped up, you hit your head and hopping up. You got in, you were droggy. And when you finally woke up, you were like, all right, what do I have to do? And this is what the nations are doing. They're going, what do I have to do now that I know this? Because the Father has shaken them. That's the Ezekiel. There was a great shaking. It was a noise. The noise has been us. The shaking has been us. When Israel wakes up, there is a shaking in the earth because the earth wakes up because we are connected. See, we haven't been connected to our earth. The earth has been dormant. The heathens have been destroying it over and over and over again. And it's been doing its thing and coming back to life and fighting it and doing the right thing and helping because we were still here. See, the nations are so ignorant in the fact that they don't even read their own compilation of stolen scriptures that they think or have thought that, oh, well, all of Israel, all of that ancient Israel is gone. It's now about Ish and replacement theology, their church. And now here, after 2019, as we all know, and this is just a recap, after 2019, shit has truly hit the fan. It's been a rather fast. It ain't been no slow. It's been a fast decline to this point. And each day and each month and each week and each year that goes by, it's getting worse and worse. Why? Because as Israel wakes up, the earth wakes up, the elements wake up and starts replenishing itself. And, you know, the dove settling back in over our land is cause for great joy. That's the great joy that we will have in terms of the confidence to stand up a mighty and exceeding army. Not everybody's going to be aware of this fact until it happens. That's the wonder, the strangeness of their salvation. And, you know, when you look around the earth today and you see, you know, to hell with Ish and them, they're taking this whooping as they should. They're going to take it, and they're going to take it hard, okay? They might be part of the Obadiah wipe completely out, okay? I dare say I know that for truth, but all signs point to yes, okay? Because they have done too much. And there's going to be a lot of them that's going to have to make a decision, just like there's a lot of everyone that's going to have to make a decision. That's what this is all about. The Father has to wake everybody up to have them make a decision because free will has been freely given. And if you're asleep, you do not have free will. It's like the other day I said to my wife, I said, listen, I'm going to go over here and get something to eat. What do you want? You want what you normally get. And she was sleeping. And she's like, nah, I want blah, blah, blah. I want this and that. So I get over there and, I ordered what she said. Had to put it together. And just as I was just like right before they called me to say your food's ready. She calls me and she's like, hey, I'm up and I wanted to make sure you got the right thing. I was like, well, yeah, you told me to get you a, you know, XYZ. She said, no, that's not what I wanted at all. So I had to go back in and have them remake it to her to exactly what she wanted. But she was asleep while she was trying to explain to me what she wanted. Well, same as what's going on today. The nations, like, we woke up first. The Father woke us up and said, hey, get to studying. Because there's going to come a point where you're going to have to be very confident in this word. You're going to have to be extremely confident in my word. Where nobody's going to be able to say anything against you or to you, because you will have my word, my sword, to do battle with, plus my armor. And we did that. We've been doing that. We're still doing that. And we're enjoying that. We're enjoying doing it. Where the nations have still been asleep, they're waking up now. Before, they were like, oh, yeah, you know, the rapture and, you know, replacement theology, you know, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Sleep, a rapture. You know, we're going to go to Mars. You know, we're going to get Elon Musk to, you know, shoot off a rocket and break the firmament, and we're going to get to Mars. Sleep. And now that the Father has woke them up and said, hey, you got to make a decision. Are you still trying to think about some rapture and going to Mars? Or are you going to try to understand what my people are saying to you? And now there's the spirit, the small spirit, the manure. My brother Shamar told me how to say this, but I tell you, I can't. Menorah. Menorah, that's it. The small menorah candle that they have is lit. And it's lit because our large menorah that we have was already lit. So we have been the light to the Gentiles to wake up. They don't know it and understand that yet, but they will. That's our mission. I know a lot of people, you know, a lot of sisters and brothers who aren't on the same, they're on the same journey, but they're just not on the same track. And I was trying to explain this to this one sister, and, you know, they go, well, you know, it's only one way to the kingdom, and you got to go through this, and you got to go through me, and I got to teach you, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, you know, what do you mean? You trying to say that you know, our Messiah is only looking for one, there's only one way. He's only going to, this massive Mount Zion, he can't have multiple ways to get to the top with him guiding us? That doesn't even make sense that he wouldn't. I mean, we're not all in the same place. We're not all on the same level. So, you know, yeah, our Messiah will lead us, if we are diligently seeking him, to where we're supposed to be. And the Gentiles can't recognize that because they're saying their Messiah, their Jesus, is all about forgiving. So they're so busy wallowing in, hey, we want to be forgiven, without doing any actions to be forgiven, without even repenting. They just want to be forgiven and think that the kingdom's going to come to them. Well, we're saying, hey, we're repenting for our actions. So each time that we repent and move forward, we're getting closer to the kingdom. This is the confluence of events, and this is the confounding of all of the woes, because the confounding is, hey, don't be distracted. Don't even to go first directly to the nations. Don't stay distracted in your own belief, because your own belief is not going to get you to the kingdom. That's our task. This whole thing has been about getting to the kingdom, being done with the Gentiles' kingdom, because all they did was capitalize and materialize the entire earth and its people onto the kingdom that allows us to be free, utilizing our free will righteously. And people don't want to acknowledge that because, you know, everybody is still kind of, you know, well, I like to go on vacation. I like to do my thing. I like my job. I like this. I like that. And that's all fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to understand, nations, that there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new sheriff in town. Matter of fact, the sheriff is back. And sad to say that, you know, it's not really sad to say. Simply to say, your day is over. Your day is done. And if Gentiles and heathens, if you don't see this, it's like when you guys are trying to have a conversation about our scriptures now, it doesn't even resonate. This doesn't even resonate with what you're saying. Because the Father has left you. Now you're stuck just talking. And there's no edification in what you're saying. You're still worried, you know, oh, forgiveness. Listen. Forgiveness? What? You want to be forgiven to forgive? Or are you trying to forgive to be forgiven? Like, what is it? What is it going to be? Because from where I sit, I am forgiven as long as I repent. And if I repent, then that means I forgive. The nations cannot repent because to repent brings up their wickedness. And they don't want their wickedness to be shown, because to show their wickedness would mean that they are not forgiven. And it would mean that they have to ask for forgiveness. And their pride is too strong for that. Because their menorah is so small. It's not strong. The only way that their menorah can be strong and bright is if they cleave to us. If they cleave to an Israelite. Because to cleave to us, it's just like, you know, let's say you start a fire. You start a fire with a little match, with some paper, you know, it's a small fire. But then you put some big old logs on, then ultimately it becomes a bonfire. It's because you added fuel. You added more fire. And that fire is zeal. It's the passion for the truth. And the truth has never set anyone free on this earth, because the heathens and the nations have sat forth for so long to destroy it, to suppress it, to oppress it. And listen, I'm not here browbeating these cats. What I'm saying is just the facts. Now, we know that we have our own job to do. We have our own duty to do. Like, for instance, we can't get, as talking to Israel, we can't get all distracted by Ish and what's going to happen to these people. It's not our fight. You know, when it all started, we're like, you know, we got to think about it. No, this is not our fight. It's nothing to do with us. I'm not standing for Palestine. I'm not standing for Ish. I don't care about Ukraine, the military, I don't care about any of this stuff. I don't care about their shows. I don't care about their movies. I don't care about none of it. And based on that, not caring about, meaning not entertaining, also meaning not partaking of, look at how the whole world has changed. You know. It's not all about me, but deep in my heart, it really could be. And that's for each and every one of us, because we each have our own menorah. And if one of them goes out, and then, you know, the likelihood is another one will go out, then another one will go out. Then now we got to find another Israelite to light our menorah. That's why the nations are not going to survive. That's why it's going to be very few of them to survive, because, I'm saying survive in a spiritual sense, because they are not capable of having the, of putting their pride aside, having the wherewithal to seek and cleave to an Israelite. It's a tough thing on them. You know, I never thought this day would come where I would say, you know, dang, it's tough on these guys. But oh well, you know, suffering builds character. Isn't that what they told us? That's why right now the nations have to go through this alone. That means when they start acting a donkey, as it was written, is what it is. You know, don't get caught up in, don't keep your eyes so focused on Ish, Israel, that you forget to look around you, or you'll be lost trying to get, you will stay lost as a lost sheep and not find the Messiah when he's trying to get you up the hill, up the mountain of Zion. We have to stay focused. Ish and them going to pay. They're going to pay. They got to. It's their day to pay. And they got to. They're going to pay big. They're going to pay hard. They're going to pay. Now, these foolish Gentiles of these foolish nations, they're going to pay too, because they're complicit. And as they pay, they're going to be clamoring for us. They're going to be clamoring to find us and say, hey, will you pray for me? Will you listen? I can't pray for anybody other than myself and my family and nations. If you're part of my family, then you have to show it. Ain't going to be none of this, well, you know, I'm cool with you, and, you know, ha, 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 I like what you like. No. You're going to have to act. This is their conundrum. Their conundrum is that they do not believe they have to do any works. It's the most amazing thing in the world. It doesn't even make proper sense, because in their world, if you want something, you have to work for it. But in their world also, for on a spiritual level, this is how you know they got a small menorah. If from a spiritual perspective, you ain't got to work at all. You just got to say Jesus. You ain't got to work. You ain't got to repent. You ain't got to atone. You ain't got to do none of that stuff that it calls for to strengthen your spirit to light your menorah. That's why we stand in great boldness in the face of these nations today, right now. And these jokers are running around going like clowns, going, hey, will you come down and see and talk to us? No, sir. I just keep it very simple with them now. It's very simple, because anything more than that will trigger them into straight madness. And you know what? I don't want to be the cause of their triggering into straight madness. And the Father's not told me to trigger them into straight madness. So that's why, you know, shoot, I do what I do. I get on here and I talk the talk. And then the next day I get up and I walk the walk and I atone, I repent, because, yeah, we all still have a lot of wickedness to repent for. Thoughts and more, wicked thoughts more than actions for Israel today, I would say. But, you know, I mean, to this day, the nations have not walked the walk or talked the talk. They really haven't even talked the talk, because they have given half-ass renditions of scriptures that aren't even accurate. That's why they've come up with a rapture. They don't even understand the concept of repenting, spirituality, atonement. That's why the Father has to send the Holy Spirit to wake them up, force them to wake up, because if not, they would never wake up, which then he would be unjust because he would have whooped their ass while they sleep. Isn't that unjust? You got to wake them up so that they can know, listen, you did this. Do you understand? Wop. Your parents never beat you in the bed. That's what they did. They did that. They did that to put us to sleep. But now it's time to wake up and stop being a sheep. All of this madness has to happen because it's what separates everybody. It's like as we rise in our unity, they fall deeper in their divide. As we rise in unity, they fall deeper into a divide. And they're going to look to us as a hand up. Now, there's going to be some brothers and sisters, and they're going to say, nah, you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, Nick. There's going to be some of us like that. I mean, it just is what it is. Why? Because it's reaping and the sowing. There's going to be a lot. There's going to be some of us that's going to say, you know, where's your God, nigga? Where's he at? And that's, listen, that's all sowing. They did it. Somebody's got to do it to them. That doesn't mean that that's a bad thing. Doesn't mean that we're going to turn around and enslave them and make them chattel and say, no, now you 3-4. No, that's what the Father's going to do. Making the Gentiles cleave to us, one, and two, making them be our servants and handmaids, two, is on par with them making us chattel slaves. I mean, think about that. That's why today those Gentiles, those people of the other nations outside of true Israel, that's why they're waking up. That's why we don't have to do anything at this point. See, we thought that we had to do something for these Gentiles. Nope. Turns out the Father's going to handle that. I remember a couple months ago, I was like, yo, you know, the Father says, stand down from dealing with Ish. I got them. Go do your thing. Continue studying. Get on this word. Make sure that when it's time, you got your full armor, your shield, and your sword. Just make sure you straight. And I was like, okay. And that's what kind of changed, because for me, early on in this walk, I know a lot of people, a lot of people listen to me now on YouTube because I put these lessons on YouTube, but I have a plethora of show of lessons on Blog Talk. And if you really sat back and listened to my body of work, you would see where I've come from, you know, I dare say hateful, but from a perspective of pain on these nations to now it's indifferent. I'm not wishing any pain on you because I already know that's going to come, but I really ain't got time to be even talking to you or messing with you in the first place. No longer will I cast my pearls to swine. That's what that's about. We're now at a point where if we choose to go and deal with the Gentiles from a spiritual level, we are giving our pearls to swine. Now, if one of them comes to us and wants to incorporate with us by the grace and mercy of the Father in with the Spirit, our Holy Spirit to come into our group, then that's different. But to go over to a group of let's say Christians or Ishes or Muslims or Hindus, and see, I'm the guy that says all of them are the same. They all are the same. So if we go to them and start trying to, and that's the difference between some of us in the camps. The camps want to go to them and browbeat them. Nah, see, you're wasting time and casting your pearls to swine. They shouldn't even, you shouldn't even be considering dealing with them on the street. You ain't a prophet. Those days are gone. Now it's time for you to study to show yourself approved and be prepared. This is preparedness, preparing for the kingdom to come. That's our mission. All this other stuff is of no consequence. At the end of the day, it's of no consequence. We know the history that they've done to us, that they keep hiding and lying. It's a terrible thing, for sure. But that's about to come out. All of that's going to come out, not by our doing. Not one of us, if we stood up today and got on TV, which never would happen in the first place. But we got up, we had the ability to get up, get on TV, and start telling them what they done. It would be a travesty. We'd be done. They'd come after us. It'd be madness. Matter of fact, it would never happen in the first place. And I say never happen because by our own fruition, it would never happen. But if the Father said, I'm putting you on TV and this is what you're going to do, then absolutely, just as he did with Moses. And that's the other thing. It's time for us to stand in great boldness. Great boldness. Now, what does boldness, great boldness look like? It doesn't mean that you're all haughty and prideful and staunch and stiff-necked and running around pontificating every day, telling people about themselves. And no, that's not what that means. It just means when the times arise to stand on this word, you stand on it with great boldness. When you are doing your job and doing your work or driving or talking to people and dealing with things, you do it with great boldness, not arrogance, but boldness, confidence. Some brothers and sisters might have a problem with that because they say, well, you know, you got to be humble. No. The humility is, watch this, listening to the Father. For instance, Moses, and I was having this conversation with Brother L. Moses, when the Father said to Moses, hey, go in there and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses was like, hey, yo, I don't know about that. You know, I mean, that dude's crazy and he might kill me. He might just, you know, he ain't going to listen to me at all. You know, plus you got those two big old lions sitting over there. I mean, they might eat me before I get in the door. He said, the Father said, listen, go in there. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Let me say it. Moses was like, all right, you know, a little apprehensive. Jehovah was apprehensive, but he went in there and he did it. He opened his mouth. The Father's word said, hey, Pharaoh, yo, let my people go. Pharaoh's like, what? Who is this nigga in here? Who is that nigga on that nag? Who is this nigga on that nag in my court? That's what Pharaoh said. And Moses said, it is I let my people go. And Pharaoh had to go, what? Wait a minute. Let him in the house. Let him in. Remember, that's the Django. That's Django to the point. That is, let my people go, Pharaoh. That was, what's that dude's name? Goodness gracious, the white boy. I don't remember his name. He said, after he saw him on the, after Jamie Foxx, Django up on the horse, and Stevie said, yo, who's that nigga on the nag? And the German fellow said, yeah, that's my man right there. And the white man said, well, shoot, let him in. Stevie, let him in. Same scenario with Pharaoh. But anyway, the confidence of the humility of Moses was allowing the Father to talk through him. And when you do that, you stand in great boldness. This is what we're doing. So when we're having conversations with our family, with the guy on the street, with our boss, with our wives, our children, if we allow the Father's words, if we allow the Spirit to manifest in us at each and every time, then we stand in great boldness. We stand with righteousness. Things change. People accept it. We move mountains. Whereas if we don't, so watch this. Moses said, you know, Father, I'll go in there. And he goes in there, and Pharaoh's looking at him, and Moses says, hey, Pharaoh, you know what? Listen, I know you've been doing this and that. This is what you did to my people, blah, 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 blah. And Pharaoh said, what? Off with his head. And Moses did. See, that's the converse. And I'm not saying that would happen, but if you look at how it worked out, and you look at the converse of what could have happened, the what if, it's the opposite, right? So Pharaoh would have just destroyed Moses. But Moses walked in great boldness, very humble, with the Father's spirit, in great boldness, told Pharaoh, let my people go. Now, Pharaoh didn't do it immediately, but he ended up doing it after much of an ass whipping. And that's what's going on today. You don't think that the Father has told these people through us, by us, in no uncertain way to let my people go so that they can go and worship their Father, their Elohim? That's what we've been saying. And that's not even inadvertently. We've been saying that, hey, nations, you guys have lied, cheated, and stole. We're done. Our people are done. Now, that's not the exact words of let my people go, but that's the same principle. And, you know, you sit back and you look at how they are acting, or rather how they are reacting to our spirit, our bold spirit, because you got to imagine, these people never seen us like this before. They never saw the true Israelites. I mean, their forefathers did, but they never saw us, these people today. So it's a strangeness about us that they never seen before. And they're walking around going, I don't know if I can mess with them. I ain't gonna mess with them. I don't know. How you doing? What's going on? And we just talking, but we're very candidly uncandid to them. And they never seen that before, because usually we'd be like trying to be on their team. Hey, we would. In the past, we would be happy that they communicated with us, because that's what we were seeking, their communication, their, we had been seeking their approval for so long that they got used to that. Then all of a sudden, 2019 comes and we're like, yo, we ain't messing with you. They're like, yo, these people are not messing with us anymore. Why is that? Then they got rumblings of, these people think that they're Israel. Then here comes Ish in it. Nah, these people are anti-Semitic. These people are racist. These people don't know. And then we go, well, okay, if that's what you believe, then that's fine. We don't care. It has no bearing on us. It's not going to change the way we think. And they're like, whoa, they're not either. Everything we do to them and everything we say against them and every threat that we give them, they're not changing a bit. Well, we're going to put them on the terrorist list, but we ain't going to put our clan on there. But we're going to put these black Hebrew Israelites on the terrorist list. But it's funny, they know where the camp's at. They see them on the street. Why ain't they going round them up? Interesting. They got them on the terrorist watch list, but yet they ain't going to round them up. Matter of fact, they ain't even messing with them. The two scenarios could be happening. The Father could be just like, y'all stay away from my people and let my people yell, scream, curse, rant, and rave at you and browbeat you. That's a probability. Or they could be agents. That's also a probability that was set up to create a situation where they were able to put them on the terrorist list. Either way, it's truly of no consequence, because the reality is that today we stand in great boldness to this. And we can recite and we can interpret and we can philosophize our own scriptures now. And they're in amazement of that. Never forget, and I said this story before, I'm sitting there trying to explain to these people, these nation people, listen, you know, Revelations 6 and 8, the pale horse, all that stuff's happened, you know, the three parts, and the fourth part, oh, that's America. And all they could do was tell me, you know, this is a couple of years ago, all they could do is tell me that I'm perversing the word. So, okay, from that point forward, all Gentile nations and all Gentile Hebrews got no more information out of me. And the Father brought me down a little bit because I was out there telling these people about everything. And it wasn't time for them to be told everything. Kind of like when, you know, our brothers and sisters back in the 70s, 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s was out here trying to tell us something. The Father brought them down and said, nah, it ain't time. So just the same as us out here trying to tell these Gentiles and these nations, hey, you guys are wrong. You guys are this. You guys are that. You're Esau. You did this. You did that. He don't want us to do that. He don't want us to do that. Or rather, he didn't want us to do that then. Now, things are changing. The closer we get to March, April of next year, the more he's setting us up to be able to help those that he has taken out of the demonic, simple-minded, foolish, Gentile, heathen-ish nations, okay, and cleave to us, and cleave to us. But the beautiful thing is that we gain salvation. We get it now. We get it. That's the beautiful thing. We get it. Ain't gonna be none of this puff dickety mug who gets a little bit of world salvation and everybody put him on a high horse and all these other celebrities that the issues have brought put in front of us to make us jealous. Ain't gonna be no more of that. Ain't gonna be no more of that monkey business. Ain't gonna be no more of that. We get our true salvation. And that's being able to stand in great boldness on two feet, breathing the breath of truth of the spirit of life, eating from the tree of life. Are we not tired of eating off of that rotten fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Are we not tired yet, Israel? And you know, stop eating, when we stop eating off of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and its rotten fruits, and we go to the tree of life, we're too busy eating off the tree of life to be worrying about those over at eating off of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We ain't care about them. That's something the Father's going to deal with. That's why it's humorous to me to listen to these Christian people. Matter of fact, and the only one that I have that shows up now is this dude Fang. Is it Fang? Something Fang or something out of Hawaii. And you know, I put him on. He'll talk about prophecy, and then I'll turn it on and I'll hear the first like three sentences, and I go, "Oh God, this dude, I can't listen to him no more." And I mean, literally, it's like the first three sentences, I already know what he's going to go, where he's going with this. And it's going to end up talking about, you know, but if you love Jesus, you know, that's it. I mean, I don't know how you can love Jesus and not his people, but that's just strange to me. That'd be like somebody, you know, I got a large family, and someone comes in and goes, you know what, I like your son, but I don't like nobody else in your family. I mean, how? What is that? I mean, come on. Then you don't like none of us. You don't even like the son. There must be some other agenda. Lo and behold, there's another agenda. Look at that. Lo and behold, there's another agenda. You want to use Jesus so that you can control everyone. So you want to use my son to try to control my family. That's not going down no more. That's a wrap on that madness. So you either, if you, and that's why, that's, you're going to either love the one and hate the other, right? Because you can't serve two masters. You're not going to be able to serve and love Jesus without loving and serving his people. That's why at the end he said, yeah, you're going to be servants and handmaids because you didn't serve his people. You only served his son. And you didn't even serve his son righteously. You didn't even do that right, nations. You just didn't. You didn't. No, you didn't. Well, don't tell me, but listen, I ain't got to tell you nothing. I'm just saying you didn't serve our Elohim's son who he sent to this earth for the salvation of his family because he knew you wouldn't do right by his family. You didn't even serve the son right. You took and used and changed and lied and recreated, mocked. Matter of fact, you murdered him. Murdered him. I'm going to say it again. You nations murdered him. No. It was the Israelites didn't know. No, they didn't. No. The Israelites were the Pharisees, which were the Ishes and the Edomites. It wasn't our people. We were at that time the majority of the people. This is why they keep all that stuff out of our understanding. At that time, we were being oppressed. The people were being oppressed. Those people who were working on our behalf caused great pain to us. Caused great pains. Let his blood be on us and our children. So be it. Wasn't that what Pontius Pilate said? So be it. I wash my hands of these niggas. They dumb as hell, but I wash my hands of them. Pontius Pilate got hemmed up too. But who killed him? Who murdered him? The Edomites and the Khazarians, the Pharisaical Jews. Matter of fact, let's just call a spade, the Jewish people murdered Christ. Still murdering Christ. They still murdering our Messiah. To this day, they murdering him. Still. Which also should tell you who murdered him. Rome. They still murder him. They still crucify him. They still got him up on a cross. Same people murdered our Christ, our Messiah. So, yes, they're going to have to pay. To this day, they're going to have to pay. They're going to pay hard because they were murderers. And it's funny to me how this is why the Spirit told me, the Father told me, listen, you see that this is uneventful for you. It's just a distraction and it will create emotional distress. Let it be. Because it doesn't make sense how the whole world is upset at Ish, rightfully so, for being a murderer, but they won't ever look at themselves. It's amazing to me. Everybody trying to get out in front of it and be like, yes, Israel is wrong. They are wrong in this, and they have been killing people, and they did it.
But what?
What have you done?
Israel has been taking, occupying Palestine.
But what? What have you done? This is the classic take the beam out your own eye, Charlotte, before you start trying to poke a tree trunk in mine? This is how ignorant and foolish these nations are. They don't even think properly. And it's funny because it's a setup. It's a setup. Don't say nothing. Shh. It's a setup. Don't you see it? The Father's setting them up. He going to have them all set up to talk shit to Ish and expose Ish and at the same time expose themselves. It's a setup. It's a beautiful thing. That's why it is a beautiful thing to be us at this time. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it like that. I'm going to say it loud. It's a beautiful thing to be an Israelite today. Not an Israeli, but an Israelite. That's why, you know, brothers and sisters back, you know, seven years ago, when some of us have woke up and we're trying to tell people, they were like, y'all stupid. You don't even know what you're talking about. Now you got brothers talking about, none of that stuff's true. It all came from Kemet. And this is the other thing. Listen, brethren, Kemet brothers, do you not understand historical truth? Egypt was not the first civilization. Babylon was. And was not Daniel in Babylon? Meaning, we were in Babylon too. We've been in every civilization. So why then would you think just all about Egypt? When matter of fact, brethren, the Egypt that they're talking about over there ain't even true Egypt. It's over here. That's why all this truth is going to come out. Man, when it comes out, it's going to be a bombshell. Talk about a nuclear. There's your nuclear war. There's your nuclear war. The greatest oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. But when the oppressed wake up, it's a boom. It's like a nuclear bomb. There's your nuclear war. It's in the mind. Like a ticking time bomb. Just waiting. And nobody's going to say nothing. Nobody's going to have anything to say because they're going to be, as Baruch said in the 12th woe, they're going to be confounded. All the other 11 woes before. They're not going to have, that's why today they don't even say nothing to us. That's why we free. We are free. This is what freedom is, to be able to think freely. That's why they can't come at us. What they going to say? Oh, you ain't doing, why? I mean, we're not? Then who is? Oh, that they were divorced and done away with. Who says? Well, my pastor and my priest and my rabbi and my imam and my blah, 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 and everybody says that you guys aren't the people. Okay. You can believe what you want to believe. Ah! See, this is... That's a nuclear war when their mind gets blown. And it could truly be a nuclear war. I don't know. As a matter of fact, I don't even care. Again, that is of no consequence to me. If it happens, if today they send off a nuclear bomb, a warhead over to the East Coast of America, where I'm going? What I'm going to do? I got no control over that. But I definitely know that they can't do that, because it's not theirs to destroy. They didn't create it. They're going to hem and haw. They're going to posture. They're going to run around like roosters cucking. And maybe one of them gets scratched. Maybe they drop a bomb somewhere over on themselves because they fighting each other. But they ain't going to blow up. Why would the Father put the X over America, move the Northern Army off of it, just for him to allow them to blow it up? Like, that That's not reasonable, rational, or make any sense. It's not logical. So to me, I feel like I'm safe. That's what I'm saying. This is freedom. This is what freedom looks like. Where we get to stand in great boldness and be strong about it. Keep your head up. Look these fools in the eye. And this is something, you know, I work downtown, as I've said before, and I get in the elevators with these people and all that. And, you know, I stand up like a man. I look these people in the eye like a man. They say something to me. I say, most of them are so busy on their phone, the head down. I'm not on my phone in the elevators. I'm not on my phone in the midst of them. Because I got to be aware. They're not aware, let alone recognize that they're in the presence of a G, let alone that. They're just unaware. That's why it's going to be a mind-blowing awakening for these nations. You know, they right now talking about, yeah, you know, the military, we waste a lot of time. Yeah, but we told y'all niggas that back in the day. We said, why we ain't going to, Muhammad told you, why I'm going to go over there and kill these people that ain't do nothing to me. So this ain't nothing new. Military people, y'all did it because y'all wanted that money. Y'all wanted to come back here and have these people praise and worship you like a G. That's what y'all wanted. Don't get it twisted. Don't act like y'all did this for patriotism. Phil Flaw in your patriotism. You did that for pride. That's all that was, your own individual pride. Because if you made it back from the war, which you didn't know, the wars before Desert Storm, you know, when you guys made it back, y'all got doo-dooed on. People were like, oh, those people crazy. They killed a bunch of people. Oh, but I thought you were trying to be patriotic. Well, we know that they forced y'all brothers and sisters to go there and fight and kill. We know that. The father knows that too. And they went over there to fight our people. Viet Cong is our people. Congo. Congo. It's our people. But it was do or die. Them brothers and sisters didn't have no choice from the perspective of living in the world. They didn't have any choice. They had to do it. And this is rightfully so that it's full circle now that these military men are struggling. Unlucky. Oh, you need to have some empathy. No, I don't. I don't. There's no empathy here for anybody. There was no empathy shown. Now, granted, I have to feel, I have to help people, which I do. And granted, I have to make sure that I treat people the way I want to be treated, which I do. But I don't have to have empathy for the whooping that you're going to take, for the consequences of your actions. That's what's got everything all messed up now. We sat around and had empathy for them, which then meant that once we gave that energy of empathy, then that was, oh, well, you know what? We forgive them. What? They crying in the corner. And they didn't mean to kill all our family over here. Look at them. They're struggling. They just didn't know what they're doing. You know what? Let's just forgive them. Hell no. That is not happening. There's no empathy here. You definitely don't get, listen, that's what I'm saying. Don't be deceived. Don't be distracted by their, because they're going to take this whooping and it's going to be a mental issue with them. And they're going to come looking sad and it's, listen, suffering builds character. Look at us. That doesn't mean, again, that when they come to us, when the Father sends them to us, that we cannot put them under our wing. We have to, and we should. Okay? But the empathy there is, that's gone because they're under our fold. There's no more empathy for that, what they did, because they repented and they went on a bit and they've done the things that they need to do to get into the family, into the tribe. The empathy is when they're outside the tribe trying to get in, or not even, it's just when they're outside the tribe trying to stay out, just wanting us to give them some energy. Nah, son. Listen, you brought that on yourself, shorty. You need to go over there with that. No. Go over there with that. But can't you? No. It's like, we got a homeless problem here, and there's this one brother who, a problem where South Carolina ships their homeless into Charlotte. They just ship them in there at night, just ship them, drop them off. Voila, make do. So anyway, there's this one brother who I see, and I don't see all the time, but whenever I go out to lunch, I'll see him and he'll go, hey, can you help a homeless? Now, this is a brother. He got to be like 30-something, 40. He's like, hey, can you help a homeless man out? And I'm like, I we live in a cashless society, so I'm not walking around with cash. Somebody hit me in the head. So I'm like, brother, I ain't got no cash, but I could get you something to eat. And he just looks at me and moves on to the next one. And I did that a couple times now, and it's like he don't remember me. He keeps coming up to me. I keep saying I'll give him some food. He don't want that. He wants some cash. Another brother was like, hey, you got any cash, man? Can you help me out? I was like, I don't have any cash, man. I got no money, dude. I just have a car. He said, well, I got Venmo. What? How you homeless and got Venmo? Come on. It's like this whole thing is such a facade. It's a racket. Even the homeless is a racket. That's what I'm saying. That's my point. Everything in this world is a racket, and we can't be deceived to give our energy and our resources away anymore. I mean, if we don't see that that's the situation with Africa today, you don't think they came in and they were like, hey, let's be cool, whoop-de-woo, and then they took the resources? The Africans over there, each one of those nations in Africa, it was later that the Africans were like, yo, what the heck is going on here? We ain't got nothing. It was after they came in giving, they gave them, they came in, Chinua Achebe, Things Fall Apart. Matter of fact, it's a great book. Things Fall Apart. He said that, they came in, the Europeans came in with a book, and they came in at night with a book, and in the morning they had the land and we had the book. No, that's what it was. They came in at night with the book and they had the land, and in the morning the Europeans had the land and the Igbos had the book. And that's because they gave energy. They entertained them. Because who came in with the book? The missionaries. Just like over here, they came in with the book, gave them the book and drink, and took the land and wrote them out the book. That's why, this is the great awakening for Israel today, the Israelites, the Hebrews, the 12 tribes. And it tires me to no end when brothers get on the internet and they start espousing about them being Judah. Everybody want to be Judah. Now, we Judah, we all Judah. Everybody seemed to forget about Ephraim. Everybody. That's another deception. And yeah, that matters. The whole house thereof, the whole house of Israel will be saved. It didn't say the house of Judah only. That's why I give a I give the stank eye to all these brothers and sisters that's just talking about Judah. I'm going, see, I don't know if you're an agent or you just don't know, but I'm not entertaining you. That's why my circle is very small who I entertain. I mean, extremely small. But yet I ain't nobody, but yet I am somebody. I know that I know some things. I don't know it all, but I damn sure know some things. And I know 12 is more than one. So, you know, I rarely hear anybody talk about the 12 tribes. I mean, they say the 12 tribes, but they only talk about Judah, which, mind you, is just the southern kingdom, not even the northern. The northern had the majority of us. The majority was the 10 tribes. 10 tribes versus 2. That's why I'm saying it's a lot of madness out here. It's a lot of craziness that we have to make sure that we are not deceived. That's what our Messiah said. That's what our brother said. He said, make sure that no man deceive you, period. I take that to heart because that means everyone is coming to deceive us. Everyone. Your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your friend, your foe, the government, everyone. Because if they are not working hard diligently to not be deceived, then they are going to be deceived. The deception, knowing the deception. That's why, you know, for a minute I was just all enamored with this Ish thing, going, yeah, you know, this Ish, yeah, get him. And then the father said, whoa. So I smacked him in the face. I was like, what? It literally smacked me in the face. I'm waking up at night going, what? It finally was like, yo, don't be deceived. I said, oh. Because then he gave me a thought. He was like, hey, what about your brethren in the Congo? Because Ish and them ain't got nothing. They ain't got no resources. They really ain't got no land. They ain't got nothing. No minerals, no elements, nothing. Nothing of value is in that land. They bombed it all to hell. There's nothing there. Nothing is coming out of Israel. Matter of fact, let me just ask their Google, because their Google will tell you resources does Israel produce? The natural resources of Israel include potash, copper ore, natural gas, phosphate rock, magnesium bromide, clays, and sand. Additionally, cut diamonds stolen from the interior of Africa, I'm adding that part, are one of the leading exports of the country. Otherwise, it's primarily dependent on crude oil and raw materials, material imports. So really nothing. Let's see. Potash. Is that potatoes? What is that? Let's see. Search potash. Potassium. Okay. Well, let's see something. Canada is the world's largest producer of potash. I mean, come on. So Ish ain't doing nothing. Nothing. But wait, hold on, there's more. What resources does the Congo produce? Indeed, the territory, indeed, it's the first word, indeed. The territory of the DRC is rich in natural resources. This includes timber, oil and gas, gold and diamonds, as well as minerals critical to the energy transition, like cobalt and copper. DRC is one of the most biodiverse areas in the world. That sounds like our land, our people. But yet they're trying to distract us with ish, because they are in the Congo taking, stripping, stealing everything they can right now, while our eyes are fixed on ish, taking his whooping. That's the deception. That's the deception. Let me see something. Romans 13 and 11. Do this, knowing the time. Let me just see something real quick. Let me get this up. Make this happen properly. Bear with me one moment, please. All right. Romans 13:11, and what, considering the season, that it is now time that we should arise from sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed it. Footnote, an application taken of the circumstance of the time, which also itself putteth us in mind of our duty, seeing that this remaineth after that the darkness of ignorance and wicked affections by the knowledge of God's truth be driven out of us, that we order our life according to that certain and sure rule of all righteousness and honesty, being fully grounded upon the virtue of the Spirit of our Messiah. I'm telling you what, it's our awakening. I mean, nobody else is dealing with this. They talking about John 3:16. They ain't dealing with this salvation. So that's going to be a wonderful thing. All right, let's read this here. What is the good news? Well, if we ask the nations, it's that the Messiah was murdered, killed to forgive them of their sins, and that in doing so, the Messiah destroyed the law. However, Matthew 5 and 17 says, per the Messiah, this is not true. Nevertheless, the nations cling to this as good news. Okay, then what is the good news in this notion of forgiveness and the ending of the law? To continue to sin and partake of the flesh and materialism? Romans 8 and 3 thinks not. So then where would the nations come up with a concoction such as this? It appears to rest in power, but even before the nations, power was always the grail which the beast and the men of the beast sought. So if the good news to the nations is that they are forgiven of their sins only to continue in their sins, well, then surely I'd say that is good news for the nations. Side eye. Yet, that is not how it truly is, how it truly is written and intended to be perceived. As the Elohim of the Israelites, justice will not sleep forever. There's your Thomas Jefferson. I tremble for my nation. That then begs the question to ancient Israel, the whole house thereof. What, pray tell, is your good news? Certainly, it's not a forgiveness of sins to sin again, considering the station of thy nation, nor would or could it be the abolishment of the law, since without law, the bottom is status quo. Because the man of lawlessness is a foe, not a friend. So then what is true Israel? What is true Israel's good news? To be redeemed from the bottom and forgiven of their sins against their own. Is it not true that in redemption, Israel finds salvation, thereby bringing salvation to some of the nation's mixed multitudes? Now that is good news. that redemption comes to Israel so as to bring light to the nations so that the nations can also find freedom from their sins, so to taste the glorious mercy, peace, and grace that the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob wants so much to give his creation? If we let the nations loose forever, they would destroy it all, and they would destroy it all. And they do not have the authority nor the power to tear down and build back up. That is without Israel. Israel is no longer involved, immersed into the nations. What then can they build? Who would do it? Who has the spirit to manifest these undertakings if not Israel? Who but Israel has built all the nations' kingdoms? Have they not, since Babylon, been the bricklayer, the mason, the master carpenter? Has not Israel been paid for less to reach the sky for the nations? Is not Israel last and not first in kingdoms that were, that is, yet first in the kingdom to come? Is that not good news? Being first in the kingdom to come? Where then are the nations to deny and dismiss this good news? Where are the nations' prophets? Where are their kings? I say to you, Israel, the promise is in you. Therefore, take heed that nothing deceives you as you take up your inheritance of promise. Stay vigilant with your eyes and ears so you may be shown the way from and through your trouble, so that the prize and the love you seek shall be caught. A snare of good tidings, rest, peace, healings, manifestations, joy, and wisdom is your salvation. And will you forgive to be forgiven or forgiven to forgive? The choice is yours. Rest on your spirit in this time of woes, as it will be your guide to salvation and to your kingdom to come. Act accordingly, and above all else, love your neighbor as you would yourself. Be not quick to anger, as a child has no sense of temperament. A child will not understand until it is taught. So you have learned from the books I have left you, and I am showing you more tests to ensure you are ready when the time comes for you to show the love I have shown you to your neighbor outright. As for now, behold, I come in the stars to light your menorah, to have you light your neighbors. Take no task. I have not sent you, as at this time the nations will be reaping and will angle for your hand up. But it's not your hand they wrestle with, but mine. Steady the course, be patient for your own spirit. Be mindful, be patient for your own spirit. Be mindful of your own lust of the flesh, and tear down all graven images and idols made for man. Seek me, for here I am. You know where to find me, for I am next to your temple inside of you, helping to build our kingdom. Be at peace as it is with you. So I was thinking the merchants of the world will be crying because Babylon's burning. So is it that the merchants will be crying because Babylon's burning first, or would they be crying because we no longer want their goods? It's just like Black Friday, so-called. Did nobody want their goods? You don't think they're crying? They all over the internet trying to get us to buy something. When we sit back and we go, but you guys have, we don't even trust buying stuff online. It's a racket. And they're going, no, we got it secure. We're going, nah, we don't trust you. Plus, we don't need it. Matter of fact, we don't want it. ever since Evergreen did its thing in the Suez Canal, materialism has taken a hit. They said, oh, we can't get it for you. You know, I'll get it. I'll have to order it. And we're like, we don't want it. If I can't touch it or see it or get it today, I don't want it. So the instant gratification of materialism has gone away. And that's all from the Father to punish him for today. See, the repercussions of that is where we are today. This is where the Gentiles are upset, because they have no more sway over our minds. They can't come at us from a spiritual perspective. Matter of fact, the metaphysical is done. Or rather, our metaphysical has blossomed and their metaphysical, as low as it was, is done. And we don't care. And it's not to harden our hearts to where we don't care about people's pains. It's to harden our hearts so that we don't be distracted with their pain. This is no longer a game. We have come, we've seen, and we're done. All praises to our Father, who has given us the enlightenment, the wisdom, the knowledge, the wherewithal, the love, the joy to manifest, to maintain, to grow, to love ourselves, to love our families, and to love him, to know our spirit, to know our brethren, to know our sisters, to know our Messiah. All praises, because that is our salvation. They can't take that from us no more. Next up is our inheritance. Can't take it from us no more. They're about to give it all back to us. So when they come crying and whining and saying, listen, we'll give you reparations, don't take the bait. I said a while ago, I said a long time ago, I said, the moment that they start giving us reparations, you know the dollar is done. Their money will mean nothing. Never forget that dude McCorkle sat up there and said, we gave you a nigger president. What more do you want? And now look at him. The Father shut his mouth. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, I don't care. I really don't. It's not even about me trying to get anyone to believe anything. It's about me manifesting this. Because that's our power. That's always been our power. Collectively, it's been our power. We could sit back and manifest something. That's why they never built nothing. Founded in 1819. Whatever, you found it or did you build it? Because if they built it, they would say built in. But they never built nothing. It was us. Because we could manifest what was in the spirit to the physical. That was our gift. We did that. That's why they had to put us in every nation. So every nation got, when one nation went away and they destroyed that nation, they enslaved us to help build it. To build theirs and then over, and it's a cycle. Now, ain't no more building there, because we have manifested the truth to the point that we do not want to rebuild their nations for them. And the Father was like, yo, that's what I wanted to hear. Remember he said, because our saints, our forefathers, our ancestors are under the altar crying out, going, Father, when? He said, but for a little while. Until my knuckleheads on earth realize that they don't want no more to do with wickedry. And this is where we've come to, and it's a beautiful thing. So I would say
brothers and sisters, if you want to study, study hard, study strong, study true. Listen to the brethren and sisters that you listen to, but do your own due diligence. Ain't no man or no woman your leader. We lead today ourselves. Make sure that at the end of the day, you are treating people well. Now, you know, people say, well, you contradicting really quickly. You contradicting. No, it's not a contradiction. I can treat people the way I want to be treated and not have any empathy for them. We do it every day at work. We do it every day. I mean, you know, you got work, coworkers that you deal with, treat them right, and you going about your business. You ain't going to the house, you ain't eating and doing all, no. People will walk by you, you say hey, they say hey, you say hey. You acknowledge them, keep it moving. You ain't got to sit down and have a dissertation with nobody. That's for you and the Father. That's what I mean by empathy. I'm not going to sit down and listen, all right, man, you know, I know you're a coworker of mine. Tell me your situation. Or some dude walking out, or a homeless cat, or anybody coming in and saying, listen, I need you to tell me your situation. So I can take on that spirit. And take on that energy. And give you mine. No, sir. But, hey, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't have any cash. And I'm not giving you my Venmo or my Zelle or anything else. And if I had some cash, I'd give it to you. But I do have the ability to get you something to eat. Is that what you want? Try their spirit. This is just our lives now. We've been giving back our blessing. We've been giving back. So make the most of it. Do the right thing. Because as hard as it was to come by, it's really easy to be gone. All praises. Shalom and be at peace.